So I want to start out with a bizarre story, and it's a story about a mad scientist. So once upon a time, there was a mad scientist who was really curious about the jumping abilities of frogs. And so one day he went out and he captured a frog and he brought it into his lab and he set it on the table and he stood behind the frog and he yelled, "Jump, frog, jump!" And would you know it, the frog leapt. And so he measured out how far that frog could jump and recorded it. But being the mad scientist that he was, he had an idea. He thought, I wonder what would happen if we surgically removed one of the front legs of the frog. How far could he jump? And so he cut the leg off and he set the frog on the table and he stood behind it and he yelled, "Jump, frog, jump!" And with all three legs that it had, it leapt as far as it could and he measured it out and recorded it. And he thought, man, I wonder what happens if we take both of the front legs off. How far could he jump? So he cut the other front leg off. He put the frog on the table, and guess what he yelled? "Jump, frog, jump!" And the frog, with all of its might, leapt with those back two legs. So the mad scientist thought, what happens if we start to take off the back legs? So he cut off one of the back legs, put the frog there on the table, and he yelled at it, "That's right, jump, frog, jump." And with one leg, it did everything in its power to scoot itself forward. And he measured that tiny little bit, and he goes, I know what I have to do now. I'm going to cut off the last leg. And it's exactly what he did. And he put the frog on the table, and he yelled, "That's right." And would you know it, the frog did nothing. And so the mad scientist thought, well, there must be something wrong. So he began to yell louder and louder, "Jump, frog, jump!" He even clapped his hands, stomped his feet, yelled, "Jump, frog, jump!" And guess what? The frog went nowhere. And so this very mad scientist concluded that frogs without legs simply can't hear. Now, I know it's a bizarre story to get us started on a day like today, but I think it's a story that provides for us as a church a profound wake-up call. In the story, the scientists apparently thought that it was enough to look like a frog to be able to jump like a frog. It was enough that he had a frog head and a frog torso. He didn't need frog legs to be able to jump forward. And in a lot of ways, the church has made a similar and kind of crazy conclusion. And here's what I mean. The church has assumed that if the church frog, let's call it that, has a church frog head, that is leadership in church, whether it be pastors or teachers or volunteers who are helping to lead spiritual development, if it's got a church frog head and it has a church frog torso, that is the gathering of everybody that happens primarily on a Sunday morning or Saturday night or Wednesday, that this church frog can leap forward in faith. It can leap forward into the world and engage the world. The problem, though, is that the church has missed that without legs, it can do nothing. And the legs of the frog is very much the households or the home in which we reside. If you remove the faith from the realm of the household, what you end up doing is pulling off the legs one at a time and expecting that our kids or our families can leap forward in faith, leap forward into the world and live out that faith. But without the legs, they go nowhere. Today, we wrap up a four-week series called Faith in the Home, where we have been looking at what does it mean to have a spiritually vibrant household or home? What does it look like to engage faith and to see faith grow and mature within our homes? And today, as we celebrate both Reformation Day as well as Confirmation, we look at the foundations of our homes. When we look at Luke 6, it's really interesting because it opens up with an almost surprising kind of tone in which Jesus challenges his disciples, saying, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Now, confirmation students, you in just a moment are going to stand before all of these people, and you are going to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And I want you to hear Jesus' challenge. Lord, Lord, and yet still you don't do what I say. Jesus goes on, he says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. And Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the wise builder. There once was a man who built his house wisely, and he dug down deep and built its foundation on rock so that the wind and the rain and the torrents, when they came, they didn't wash this house away. But a foolish builder came along and built a similar house, but he just put it in the sand with no foundation. So as soon as the rain came, it was immediately washed away. And Jesus' point is pretty clear and simple enough. No house stands without a firm foundation that is built on something that will last. Confirmation students, for the last few years, you have been going through a discipleship process, in one sense, very much a building process, a laying of a foundation that will last through all the wind and rain and storms and challenges that will come your way. And that foundation that has been laid in your life is the foundation of Jesus Christ. In California, where I grew up, every time we would go to the beach, all along some of the most just beautiful beaches in the world, overlooking the Pacific Ocean, were the envy of everybody, these houses, million-dollar homes built on the cliff sides of California, looking out into the ocean. And most of them were built back in the 60s and 70s, and over the years, the cliff sides that they were built on, made up mostly of sand and sandstone, have slowly eroded as each spring the rains came. And it seemed throughout the 80s, 90s, and even still today, one by one, the homes that were the envy of everyone came crumbling down into the ocean because they were not built on a foundation that would last. The foundation that was laid for you guys in confirmation is the only foundation that will last. Not just a lifetime, but it will actually last on into eternity. The foundation of Jesus Christ is the one that will stand the test of the rains, the winds, and the storms. As you guys continue into high school, your world will continue to expand and grow, and you will be challenged in your faith in all new ways that you've never experienced before. Your friend groups will continue to expand and diversify. And you will come into contact with people who are very different than yourself. They live differently. They act differently. They believe differently. You'll be friends with them, but it will test and challenge your faith. In just a few short years, most of you will probably pack up your bags and head off to college somewhere. Parents, hold your breath. It happens like that. And when you get to college, that world of yours will grow even bigger. And the challenges and temptations will get even bigger, as new and contrasting ideas will be presented to you that will test your faith and test your beliefs. But I want you to remember, with every test, every challenge that comes, your life is built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, a foundation that can never be shaken, a foundation that never changes, never cracks. It is there for you always. When you doubt, Jesus is your rock upon which you stand. When you wonder if this is all real, Jesus is the foundation upon which you stand, because he came in the flesh and blood, real as you are real today, and died and rose for you. We have laid with you a foundation that will last forever. There was a time in the history of the church when that foundation wasn't as strong as it is today. A time during the Middle Ages when things were added to Scripture, things were taken away from Scripture, and what it did was it began to erode at the foundation, began to crack it up and break it up. But through the work of people like Martin Luther and the other reformers, the true gospel, that Jesus Christ came to earth, died for our sins, rose for our eternity, and that all of this was a gift free to us, it was rediscovered, that true gospel, and proclaimed. And emerging out of the Reformation came a statement that has helped ground us as a church ever since. And the statement goes like this: sola fide, sola gratia, and sola scriptura. That is, by faith alone, grace alone, and scripture alone. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, we are saved from our sins. And through his death, our sins are forgiven. And through his resurrection, we are given an eternal life with him. And all of this is revealed to us in scripture alone and nowhere else. The very scriptures that you as students have dug through for the last few years. Jesus Christ is our one foundation, our only hope for salvation and for life. And today, students, as you stand before our congregation, you will make a confession of faith stating that you fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That in Jesus Christ and him alone, you place your life, your soul, and your eternity into his hands. Now, I want you to take a moment and think about that. You're going to stand in front of us and say that Jesus Christ is above everything else in your life, above your brothers and your sisters, above your parents, above everything in your life, above your friends, your school, above the coolest thing that you see on TikTok or whatever it may be. You are going to say that Jesus Christ will always come first in my life. Now, when I was younger, when I was your age, I was not a Christian. The first time I ever stepped into a Christian group, they talked all about worship and what it was. And they said, you worship God, you worship him above all else. And I left that place and I thought, those people are insane. There's no way you can place God above everything else in your life. It's hard, it's challenging, because there's everything around us that wants to pull God out of that top spot and put him somewhere else. But now on this side of things, I look at it and I go, I totally get it. Because when we're grounded on the foundation of Christ, not only do we stand upon him, the rock, but he stands above us and watches over us. You see, today as you stand before this church, not only will you confess that you will remain faithful and keep him at the top, but you'll also confess this, that in your baptism, God did something for you so incredible. He brought you into his family, and he called you a dearly loved and forgiven child of God. Confirmation students and parents, or better yet, should I say, confirmation households, you've partnered with us, the church, to take this next step in faith and discipleship. Together, we've begun to lay this foundation. But I want to tell you, this can't be just one more thing that we do in the church. We cannot walk away from this day and say we have checked the box. Because you, households of faith, are the legs that give these students the ability to leap in their faith, to leap forward into the world and to shine the light of Christ. From this point forward, continue to model what it means to follow Jesus in your home and in your household, day in and day out, so that they can leap forward. Our hope and prayer for you as confirmation families, and really for all of us here today, is that each of our households would be vibrant and alive with faith in Jesus, that we would be households that love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our minds and all of our strength, that we would take God's word and continue to impress it upon our children and our whole households, that we would talk about God's word when we're laying down and when we're getting up, when we're sitting at the dinner table, when we're going along the roads, when we're on our way to games or anything else, that God's word would be present in our lives each and every day. Our hope and prayer is that you guys would be people of God's word, that word would so be a part of every fiber of your being that each and every day you wake up, you don't even have to think about how to live. You simply leap in faith and live as a child of God. And it's our hope and prayer that for those of you who are confirming your faith today, that this moment would be just the beginnings of your lifelong journey of discipleship. your lifelong journey of following Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, and that you give the free gift of forgiveness and life to us. There's nothing that we can do to earn it, but by your grace, you have given it. Lord, we pray that now, as these students take their step forward in faith, that they leap empowered by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would burn in them a passion to follow you all the days of their lives. We pray this in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.